Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, nice to have you back. The Giants lineup is out. It's Gorky's, Hernandez, Belt, McCutcheon, Crawford, Hundley doing the catching today. Sandoval at third, Slater in left, Panic, and Derek Holland against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How's it going?
Yeah, very good. You know, last night's game, Bruce, had so many twists and turns to it. The outfield play, the base running, and everything else. It was a good baseball game.
Yeah, it really was. And the biggest takeaway for me was Derek Rodriguez. I was really looking forward to his next start, and boy, he didn't disappoint. He's a natural competitor. You know, he has an innate knowledge of the game and what to do out there for a guy who's just now arriving in the major leagues. I mean, you feel confident when he's out there, and I don't think he's going away anytime soon.
No, and, you know, how do they deal with this? Of course, in the short term, I mean, Samardzija is going to come back and Cueto, and they're going to have to make some short-term decisions. But can you go down the stretch with guys who've never been there before, never thrown 200 innings? There's somehow something's got to happen with this rotation where Cueto and Samardzija get back in it.
Yeah, I think, to me, Cueto is the real key. If they're really going to stay in this, they've got to have more than one anchor. And if Cueto comes back the way he can pitch, going 1-2 with Bumgarner and Cueto, they're going to be right there. It's hard to tell with Samardzija. I even saw some talk about maybe he comes out of the bullpen. I don't see that happening. If for some reason he wanted to do it and it worked, it would be a great thing. That would mean that the kids are still in the rotation. You don't know about that. You'd probably rather have Samardzija in there. Then you got three veterans coming down the stretch, and you know that's pretty solid. The way guys get hurt, the Dodgers and Arizona pitchers have been hurt. Everybody's hurt, really. I'm hurt. You're hurt. I know I had my Tommy John surgery yesterday, so I'm ready to go.
Yeah, really. I have a new hip, so I'm ready to run. I tell people I can walk to first. I'm not sliding into second, but I'll do that.
All I know is that I think Suarez and Rodriguez have what it takes to pitch down the stretch, even with inexperience. I mean, there's a lot of history. You have to go back, you know, for guys coming up and pitching 200 innings. It wasn't that terribly surprising many years ago, and they their arms didn't fall off. It's a different era now, but you look more at a temperament, at how guys pitch under pressure and in big games on the road and such. And Stratton, too, he's done enough to where you have some faith in him. So it's a great problem to have. It's a great thing to have a luxury of starting pitchers as opposed to, you know, the Dodgers have been patching together, you know, with just on the fly.
So maybe the DL becomes a friend. Now, of course, they use the DL for the big guys already. Maybe, you know, the Hollands or Suarez's or those guys get a little rest in the middle of the summer. You know, this is going to have to be creative because, let's face it, you've got seven starters here.
Yeah. Well, the Dodgers did that last year. I think it was the first year when there was a 10-day DL instead of 15, and they used it liberally and without shame. You know, the guys were basically not hurt, but, you know, the guys got a little flare-up slight oblique. His oblique's barking a little bit, or something. A back strain, and so they go on the DL and they get rest and they get healthy and you get other guys in there. They did that throughout the season, but it's been a different year for the Dodgers because they've had so many real injuries, and then the Giants are in position to where I think they would use that to their advantage.
Yeah, I think that may be. You know, the more we talk about this, we come up with something that may be the way out of this predicament.
Mm-hmm.
They could option somebody down, that's one way, or use the DL and then save some time, save the arms a little bit that way because it has been done before. All right, that's a good one. Hey, did you see this Michael Lorenzen for Cincinnati?
Well, you know how I feel about the DH, and I love to watch pitchers hit. I like to watch pitchers hit no matter who they are, just to find out what kind of an athlete they are, what kind of dedication they have to hitting because they're going to have to do it. And this guy, comes in with a beautiful, a little bit long swing. He's a tall guy, but a beautiful swing. And he's, you know, he hits a pinch hit grand slam. What is he? He's three. He's got a couple homers already. His stats are
three in a row, I think.
Yeah, just ridiculous. I mean, he's a legitimate pinch hitter for them, and I just love to see that. I, you know, I hope Ohtani comes back. You know, just as a hitter, just to, you know, to plant the seed in kids' minds, really all over the world, that, you know, the pitchers, you know, should be able to, should be expected to hit, and you work on it. Next thing you know, maybe you're a Lenzen or a Bumgarner or a Scherzer or somebody who can really handle a bat up there. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, or a DeSclafani. I mean, he hit a grand slam this week. I tell you, isn't baseball funny? Isn't it funny how you can watch the game for 150 years and all of a sudden every day you come up with something new? Isn't that funny?
Yeah, Jason Stark tweeted out the stats on Lorenzen, and I barely heard of him. I sort of took note of the other home run he hit, but, you know, all of a sudden you see this, and it's like, yeah, well, God, where's this coming from? It really is. It really is fantastic.
Well, it goes back to Tommy Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E.
Is it 1953?
Yeah, Tommy Byrne was a left-handed pitcher, and the Yankees had him and sent him to St. Louis and brought him back as a Yankee, and he was a World Series hero in the mid-50s, but he could hit, and they used him as a pinch hitter, and he was a left-handed pitcher. He pitched for the White Sox, too, in there somewhere, but he would walk 11 and strike out 9. And they'd leave him in there. Yeah, and they'd leave him in there. And he was Charlie Silvera's really good friend. Charlie, of course, was a backup catcher to Yogi Berra for so many years. And I think Tommy Byrne, like, became mayor of some town in North Carolina or something. But he was a great hitter, and that went back to him. That name came up yesterday.
Well, it's a real blessing for a manager to come up to a spot where it's the sixth or seventh, and you like, the pitcher's done a good job, but now his spot's coming up. You got two guys on. You almost have to pinch hit for him. But if it's Bumgarner or this guy Lorenzen or a few other guys around the bigs, you can let him hit and then keep pitching, and you save the bullpen that way.
Yeah, I love it. I thought it was great. And then the other thing, I don't know if you saw the video on Velasquez of the Phillies.
Oh, that was fantastic. Yeah, the first thing I thought, this is a guy, if you didn't see it, this is a right-handed pitcher who got hit in the elbow with a line drive, fell to the ground, got up, picked it up with his left hand, and fired to first. He's ambidextrous. It was completely no surprise to anybody who knows him, but the first thing I thought was Sandoval. If that were to happen to him, he would have done the exact same thing. I've seen video of Sandoval warming up lefty, and it's beautiful. It's completely rhythmic. He can throw it hard. He's one of those guys. There aren't many of them, but that's the play of the year in its way.
Well, it was interesting because he gets smashed on the arm. I mean, a line drive just crushes him, and he has the presence of mind. He drops the glove, runs over, picks it up, and throws a strike, as you just described, left-handed to the first baseman. Then he falls down, and now he's on the ground holding his, and they're rolling around like a soccer player.
You know? He was in tremendous pain. I think, as opposed to the soccer players, he actually was hurt. But just on pure adrenaline, he made that play.
Amazing!
And that's so great. I mean, that's the guy. His first instinct. I'd love to see that. Let's finish this play, and then we'll see what's going on with the body.
Boy, the other thing is, you know, of course, baseball has so many games, 162 games, and then the playoffs, three layers of playoffs, and you know, there's so many games. But watching the World Cup. And watching the fans, when somebody scores or they win a game, I mean, they go absolutely berserk. And I thought Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Georgia, maybe, you know, they would get kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. Nothing like this thing. This thing is unbelievable.
It really is. And you know, you listen to the soundtrack of most of these games, and it never stops. The play never stops, for one thing. And the fans are chanting and singing or something, and there's just this constant buzz of humanity. And that's what really got me attracted to the sport. I was fortunate enough to see it in London, some matches over there, way back in the early 70s. And just the passion of the fans and just the nonstop excitement of it all. Just, it's not like every moment on the field is an unforgettable thing. It's just this, there's so much caring and there's so much tradition, and they're singing these chants. You know, they break into chants that have been sung by those fans for decades upon end, and you know, these big rugged guys are singing. You know, it's just hilarious.
It is. I mean, for fans to watch the reactions I've never seen anything like it. I know that there's been riots and thing, you know, for soccer in Europe for years, but this thing has gone off the charts. I must tell you.
Yeah, I haven't missed a game, Marty. I've taped every single one. I don't watch them all start to finish. I use the fast forward key sometimes, but more often than not, especially now with these bigger games, you know, it's like it's an addiction.
Yeah.
And you kind of try to plug into the culture and what's going on there and how they feel about these guys and who are the heroes and who are the villains, and it's like a great book. You know, the farther you get into it, the more you don't want it to end.
Yeah, good. It's very good. I'm enjoying it. All right, let's talk Giants a little bit more. We made it to July 1st. Come on, you know, and of course the 4th is coming up Wednesday. We'll have to, you know, get our time for you on Wednesday. We're on 1-4.
Okay.
But here we are. We made it to July. July 4th is coming up, and the Giants actually are trending in the right way.
Yeah, I don't think anybody around the game, you know, the people who cover it intensely or are following the other teams, I don't think anybody really doubts the Giants to an extreme degree right now. They're a serious club, and you know you watch the games. They went into Arizona two straight games. They took care of business, and you know yesterday we talked about their off field hitting, which is becoming a bit of a lost art in the launch angle generation. But you know they had a sequence. I think it was a third inning that Posey, McCutchen, and Belt, three consecutive off field hits, and now you've got a rally going. McCutchen hits one out to right field. And you know it's a mentality that the Giants have had for years with Bam Bam, and they're continuing it now. And I just love to see it. I love to see situational baseball. You know, Panic's great at it. Sandoval, when he goes to left field, is a lefty hitter. There's a lot of guys on that team that think that way. And Austin Slater is an excellent practitioner of this. And it goes a long way, Marty, especially when you're not expected to hit five homers a night.
Yeah, Slater's in there today. I thought Sandoval's single was something. You know, it's funny, if you watch the replay of it, it hits the dirt in front of home plate. And
yeah, it looked playable.
And it looked, yes, it did. I think they've softened it up. I honestly tell you, to slow it down for their pitchers, because they have such a good pitching staff. So it hit the dirt, and it must have bounced 12 times.
No.
I mean, how many times?
I don't know how it got through.
The old seeing eye single for Sandoval. How about that?
Yeah, and I'm always glad when a shot up the middle actually goes through. Because you see so many times where there's somebody standing right there, and you know, up the middle hitting is a trademark of a good hitter, and a hitter who's trying to break out of a slump. They always tell you, well, you know, in batting practice, just hit the ball up the middle, just drill it. You know, that'll help get you back on track. And it's a terrible thing when you do that and you get denied, but not last night.
No, it was great. His hit was big, and then you go to a game, it's 7-0 game. Okay, you say 7-0. Boy, that's a boring game. It wasn't a boring game because there were outfield plays, there were base running issues, and Gorky's made a play. He goes left to right very well. Coming in, not great, but left to right very well. And he threw. Did you see the throw he made to second? And what about Panic's tag?
Well, I mean, he makes a great short hop on that ball, and then he whips around for the tag. So it was two-sided excellence on that play. But yeah, I really like for the most part, I like Gorky's. I like him in general. I just like watching him. He's an elegant player. He looks like an athlete, and he's really coming into his own as a hitter, which I did not see coming at all. Obviously, he struck me as a guy who, if you play him every day, you might start regretting it after a while. But he looks like he wants that job to stay. And that was a, you know, we've seen, you know, with Pence's arm is not happening, and you know, this and that, and Art Spann, so many outfield issues, and to see something like that is really invigorating.
Yeah, I think it's terrific watching. And look, it's not a month now. You know, he did it for the last 8-9 weeks last year, and of course he came into spring training and everyone doubted him, and then he came right out of the gate and hasn't let up yet. So it's more of a sample now than just a fluke.
Yeah, I think you've got him out there now. You've got center and right field set, and I'm hoping they get a long look at Slater because he's very fundamental. He can play the position, and he's on the rise. You know, he's a guy I think that deserves that slot right now.
McCutchen's starting to grow on me a little bit, and I'm not thrilled in the three spot, but he's hitting the ball very hard. And defense, I realize it's not, you know, he's an aging outfielder in defense, but Bruce, there's something about this guy that, for July, August, and September, I want this guy on the team. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Yeah, he's one of the real studs of the game.
Yeah.
You know, the Pirates fans have been in love with him for years. And to me, the thing I watch is the bat speed. It's really still absolutely there.
Yeah.
He's been turning on balls. He's been robbed of a lot of sharply hit balls, and they shift against him. But, you know, now he's starting to go to right field a little bit, which is the mark of a guy who can adjust. I think you'll probably see more of that, but I think he's going to be terrific the rest of the way.
Yeah, I like it. So for the first 3 months, we'll talk more on the fourth. It's kind of do a little more of a review. But
mm-hmm.
I think for the first 3 months of the season, it's beyond my expectation, really.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I definitely thought they would not repeat last year. I thought they had I liked the Longoria and McCutchen moves, and I thought they'd be a respectable team. But they're a team that can get that wild card, maybe even win the division. I guess we both predicted they'd win the division.
Yes, we did.
June 11th.
We both did it at the same time. So we're gonna stick with that.
Absolutely.
All right. Great. Have a great afternoon, of course, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Okay, we'll figure out a time. Thanks,
yeah.
Marty.
All right, thanks, Bruce, as always. Boy, that's Bruce Jenkins, the great Bruce Jenkins. Boy, it's fun to talk ball with him, isn't it, on a Sunday morning?